Your story is your testimony, not your identity. Shift your mindset, elevate your perspective, become who God called you to be. This is the journey of you. Welcome to the journey of you, the place where faith meets growth and where courage rises to rewrite the stories that once tried to define you. I'm your host, Tonya D. Bennis, coach, author, communicator, and a companion on this path of becoming, committed to helping you step fully into your God-given identity. Each week, we slow down long enough to hear what heaven is whispering. Together, we peel back the doubts, the old labels, and the limits that life tried to place on you. Here, you learn to shift your mindset and elevate your perspective so you can walk heart first into purpose, clarity, and the kind of confidence that is birthed from truth, not tension or trauma. This is your invitation to breathe deeper, think higher, and see yourself the way God sees you, loved, called, and full of possibility. So wherever you are, settle in. Your journey is unfolding, and you don't have to walk it alone. Hello, Journey of You family. How are y'all doing today? Come, pull up a seat. Let's sit on the couch and talk. I like referring to these as Real Talk Tuesdays. I, over this semester, am hosting a small group for 18 and 25 year olds at our church. And that's what we call it. It's Real Talk. And I enjoy it because we get to talk about like real life stuff and then also include like that practical, tangible, and spiritual side of it as well. That not only are we having these conversations, but what's something you can walk away with tangibly and practically that you can use right now that also has a spiritual connotation. So that way it's encompassing you as a whole person and giving you that real meat and potatoes that you need. And so today I want to talk about ownership versus stewardship. It actually was something that our pastor covered in his sermon, and it was presented in a way that I had not heard it before. And I don't know if you've ever had conversations or even read the scriptures, you know, about like a husband and wife, for example, and how, you know, the husband's body belongs to the wife and vice versa, the wife's body belongs to the husband. And a lot of times people look at that as like ownership, or if you're a parent and you have a child and you're like, you know, oh, well, you got to do it because I said so, or, you know, I'm your parent. But it's not that you own your child or that you own, you know, your spouse. That even comes to like home ownership. Like, until you pay off that last mortgage note, it is your home. You are a homeowner. But technically, the bank still owns it. Because if for any reason you default and you don't make that payment, after 3 months, they're going to start the foreclosure process. And after 6 months, then it's at a point that you can either short sell it, or the bank's coming in and taking it. And sometimes it can take longer than that, depending on the circumstances. But the point is, if you don't pay for it, it is no longer going to be your home. And so that to me was very eye-opening in terms of the fact that the only person that can own us is the one who gave us life. And that's God. So he's the only one that actually owns us. And one of the things that I find that's the beauty in that is, even though he does own us, and we all belong to him, he still gives us a freedom of choice, which is pretty powerful. He didn't create us to be robots. He gave us free will and free choice. And so we get to choose to love him back or not. We get to choose to either be with him and spend time with him or not. We get to choose. We get to choose to follow the path he has for us or not. And it doesn't change the way he loves us. It doesn't change how he feels about us. Would he rather we love him back? Obviously, that's what his desire is. But he wants us to choose to do it. He doesn't want to force us to do it. So even though he owns us and we belong to him, he still gives us a choice to choose him, which I think is pretty powerful. And so where it shifts into stewardship is, you may have a spouse, you may have a best friend, you may have a sibling, a parent, a child, a pet, a job, a car, all of the different things that you have were gifted to you. And you have to be a good steward of those things. And How you steward those determines how much more of that you get or how much it expands your experience with those things. And so there are a couple of scriptures that I would like to share with you. And so 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. There's another scripture that I wish I had written down that says, every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with which there is no variation or shadow of turning, which I believe it's in James. Let me see if I can flip to it real quick, because I would love to tell you exactly where it's at so you can go and read it for yourself. But it's just a reminder. It's highlighted. James 1, verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And that one is the King James Version. So let me read it from the book as well, just to give you a little bit different variation. I just like to read it in a couple different ways, just so that way, if one doesn't relate to you or make sense, the other one might. So in this one, it says, whatever is good and perfect comes to us from God above, who created all heaven's lights. Unlike them, he never changes or casts shifting shadows. Okay. And so everything that you have, God gave it to you. Whether you give him the credit for it or not, whether you believe it or not, God gave it to you. And whether or not that adds or multiplies depends on you and your stewardship of it. And so if it's your children, are you stewarding them well? Because eventually they're going to grow up, which is why he tells us to train up your child in the way that they should go, so that when they are older, they do not depart from it. Because there's going to come an age where it's not just, well, because I said so, or do what I told you to do. No, they're going to be able to make their own choices and decisions, as well as deal with the consequences of those. And that's not on you. And so you've got to steward them well while they're young, so that as they're getting older, there's a reward from that. And if it's like, oh, well, it's too late, they're already a teenager, they're already out of the house, it's never too late to start stewarding them well, because when you know better, you do better. And so now that you know, you can start stewarding them better. Your job. When you get up every day, are you complaining about it? Are you robbing Peter to pay Paul and constantly running from one place to the next, trying to, take from here to pay over there, take from here to pay over there, or you're just working for a check? You have to steward it well. Even if it's not ideally what you want to be doing right now, you're in that place for a reason. Maybe there's somebody who needs to see the light that you have. Maybe there's a specific idea that you have hidden inside of you that is going to take off and be the next great thing for the company. Maybe it's a time of refining and there's something there that you've got to learn, and you're sitting there to learn that thing so that you can then, perfect it. That way, when you do get to the thing that you want to be doing, you've already been refined and through the fire, and you can handle whatever it is that you're asking for or that you're wanting to do. And so, being a good steward of that, doing everything as unto the Lord. When you show up every day, Lord, I thank you that I have this job to go to. Lord, I thank you for opening this door of opportunity for me. Even though it's not, the end goal, it's just my assignment in this season. Help me to steward it well. Thank you, Father, that I'm able to be around the people that I am, whether I'm surrounded by darkness and I'm the only light, or whether there's, bumps and bruises along the way. Thank you, Lord, that you're with me everywhere that I go, just like you tell me in Joshua 1:9. Thank you, Father, for helping me to walk through this. Show me what you want me to learn. Show me who you want me to touch, how you want me to be a blessing to them. Let me do everything as unto you, Father, and let me do it all with love. That's you being a good steward. Same thing in your relationship. Are you being a good steward? Are you correcting in love? Are you providing good godly advice? Are you negative Nancy or talking that bad or down about other people? Or are you like helping them to be better, and iron is sharpening iron? Are you stewarding what's in front of you well? If you're at $8 an hour, are you paying your tithes and having a budget and sticking to it, even at $8 an hour, so that then when you get to $20 an hour, or all of a sudden now you're at 60, 70, 100,000 a year, you're able to handle it because you handled the $8 well? Because this is what else it says in Colossians 3:23. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much. If you're complaining about $8 an hour, And you're like, you know what? I can't. This isn't good. This is beneath me. How are you going to handle it when you get to 100,000? Are you even going to be able to get there if you're despising those small beginnings? Scripture also tells us despise not small beginnings. Yes, maybe you're at $8 an hour right now. I've been there. I understand. But steward it well. Thank God for that. And then the next door opens, and all of a sudden, he doubles it. Then he triples it. Then he quadruples it. Spiritual math does not make sense. In reality, 1 + 1 is 2. But in the kingdom, one person can put 1,000 to flight. Two could put 10,000. That doesn't add up in basic math, does it? But it's the spiritual aspect of it. And so stewarding everything that God gives you well, it's like the parable of the people with the talents, where one had one, another one had five, and another one had 10. And how did each of them do? Well, the person with 10 doubled it. The person with five also doubled it. But the person with one buried it in the ground because he felt like, oh, what am I going to do with just one? Despise not small beginnings. That one was all he needed. Even if he would have put it in the bank and got interest, then he still would have gotten a return. His master would have gotten a return on his investment. And so, thinking about everything that you do in that regard, if you are serving at church and you're like, oh man, I don't know if I'm doing enough, or oh, I'm just a greeter, or oh, I just work in the nursery. Babies can feel everything that you feel. They can feel how you interact with them, in the way that you talk to them, in the way that you look at them, in the way that you hold them. You may be in the nursery, and that's the very place that you need to be, because those babies might not be receiving that nurturing, loving, soothing voice, or hearing scriptures, or those songs of joy. But when they're in the nursery with you, they get all of that, and it's feeding their spirit. And even if they can't physically tell you, know that you are depositing seeds. And everything that you sow, trust and believe, you're going to reap. And so believe God for that. Believe that all those seeds that you're sowing and planting into all those babies in the nursery, you'll receive a harvest from it. You may not know exactly what it looks like, but God will I ensure you that God is going to give you a harvest on that, because the laws of sowing and reaping are inevitable. Maybe, you're a teacher and it's hard. And, maybe you're dealing with, the politics of teaching and how, it's different than when you first started teaching. And, different laws and rules are assessed now, and it's not as fun as you thought it was going to be, or things have changed. That's okay. Those 20 to 30 children that are in your class every single day still need you, and they're depending on you. So you show up, and you show up well. Even if you decided this is going to be your last year doing it, while you're doing it, finish strong. Finish strong and make a difference in the lives of those children, because that's what you're doing every single day. Honestly, you spend probably more time with most of them than they do with their families, because they are with you for 8 hours a day. And then when you account for the trip on the bus to school and the trip on the bus home, like, the majority of their day is with you. They might come home and have an activity that they've got to do, or a sport that they participate in, and then they've got dinner and they're going to bed and they're asleep for another 8 or 9 hours. The majority of their day is with you. So you make up a big chunk of that day, and how you interact with them, how you talk to them, how you treat them matters. Maybe you're in the boardroom. Maybe you are a minority in the boardroom. Maybe you're the only, male, or the only female, or, a person, that's only of one ethnicity, and you feel like you stick out like a sore thumb. It's okay. Embrace that. Be yourself. Steward it well. Whatever opportunities you are given, steward them well. It says here, James 1, well, 117. That's the one that I said earlier. Here's another variation of it. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. So everything in your life, everything that you have, it is there for a reason. It's either to stretch you, it's there to make you better, it's there to help you grow, or it's there for you to be a blessing to someone else. And so steward it well. Be thankful for what God has placed in your life for you to do. That's not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not by any means whatsoever telling you that it's going to be all roses and sunshine. I'm not sugarcoating it in any way, shape, form, or fashion. There are some things where you are sowing seed and stewarding it well, and it's hard and it hurts. It may hurt like hell, but there is a reward in it. And so, in everything that you do, do it as unto the Lord. Do it in love and thank God for it. But remember that weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. It's seasonal. There are seasons in our life. When we go back and talk about the laws of sowing and reaping, think about a farmer who plants their seed. It might be early in the spring, and they're watering, and tilling the soil and doing everything that they need to do to nurture it. Well, they don't go stand out there every day waiting for a sprout to come. They just keep watering it and tilling the ground and believing in faith that a harvest will come. And lo and behold, summer comes through. We get to the end of summer, and all of a sudden, there's a field full of corn, or a field, full of tomatoes or pumpkins, and it's time for fall and harvest time. And they're going out and they're reaping the wheat and everything that they need to get. But that didn't happen overnight. There was a seed time and a harvest. There was watering, there was planting, there was believing, and they had an expectation that that harvest was coming. How many times do you plant seed and forget about the seed? How many times are you constantly pouring out and giving, and you're just like, man, it feels like I'm in a drought. It feels like everything's running dry. But beneath the ground or behind the scenes, God is still working. Those seeds are still being watered and nurtured. You may not see the sprout yet. You may not see the manifestation of it yet, but that doesn't mean it's not still there. That's why you have to zoom out and see the bigger picture of where all the dots are connecting, and you keep sowing those seeds because the harvest is coming. I don't care if it feels like it's 10 years away or it feels like it's been 10 years and you haven't seen it yet, it's coming. So you keep sowing those seeds. Because if you constantly got seeds in the ground, you constantly got harvest coming, and you don't have to worry. You don't have to look for it because you know that it's coming, because God's word won't return to him void. And so the things that he's given you, steward them and steward them well. Just like, think about Adam and Eve. It tells us in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. Now, look at this. He had to name all the birds of the air, the fowl, the fish in the sea, all the animals on the land, and then there were all the plants and everything. All he had to do was steward it well. That's it. He just had to look over it, maintain it, and keep it. Well, that's stewardship. That is exactly what God told him to do. And even after Adam and Eve sinned, he was like, you're going to have to work harder now. The ground isn't just going to automatically produce. You've got to get out there and make it happen. But it's still stewardship. That is what God wanted us to do from day one. And so everything that's in your hand, whether it was given to you or whether it just you felt like it was happenstance, something that you pursued or a door that opened, steward it well. No matter who it is that God put in your life, no matter what assignment he's given you in this season, steward it well and show up and show out every day and let God show up and show out through you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you, Father, that our ownership is in you, Lord. Thank you that you've called us sons and daughters and heirs of you, Lord. We thank you, Father, and we are grateful that you are our owner, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the things that you've given us stewardship over. Help us, Father, remove the scales from our eyes and help us to see the things that you have given us stewardship over, Lord, that if we haven't been stewarding it well, that you correct us, Father. We know that you correct us in love, Father. So we thank you for the refining. We thank you for helping us to see clearly, to be able to go in and steward all the things that you've given us. Thank you, Father, for the harvest that is inevitable, for all the seeds that have been sown, Lord. Thank you, Father, for using us, Lord, as vessels to go out, Lord, to share your gospel, Father, to be your hands and feet, and to be able to spread your love to others. Lord, as you have so freely given to us, may we freely give to others. Thank you for helping us, Father, to see it in a different light, the things that you've given us to do. If we are a stay-at-home parent and we're taking care of our children, that is a huge job because not only are we taking care of our children, we're taking care of the household, the laundry, the cooking, the cleaning, budgeting, finances. It's so many multiple hats that are being worn. Help each and every person listening to know that what they do matters greatly, that there's nothing too small or too little or minuscule. Everything with you is amazing and necessary and needed. So help them to know that they are enough in you, Lord, and that you've equipped them with everything that they needed to do before you even placed them in their mother's womb. Father, they're already qualified. They're already called. They're already equipped with everything that they need to do to accomplish everything that you've called them to do, Lord. So help them to steward it well, Father, and to see it clearly the way that you do, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanks so much for hanging out today. I hope that this has helped you and that you're able to really look at things differently and really increase the way that you are stewarding the things that God has placed in your life, the people and the things that He's given you to do, the work that He's given you to do, your interaction with others, everything that is in your life right now. May you steward it and steward it well. Remember, this is your journey. It's where your life begins. Thanks for being here on the journey of you. If this episode blessed you, take a moment to connect with me, whether through email, Substack, or the contact page at tonyzbennis.com. I'd love to walk alongside you with encouragement and truth for your journey. Until we meet again, stay rooted in faith, anchored in purpose, and bold in who you are becoming.